There is a message on my heart this morning. It's been on something of a passion for me over the last few weeks and months. And we took a little bit of a look at it last week in terms of what it is that the Lord is calling us to. I want to preach a sermon entitled Reassigning Desolate Inheritances To, because we started last week. Basic premise is this. If you weren't here, let me catch you up quickly. There are so many Christians, I believe, that live in a substandard lifestyle. It's not the lifestyle that God called them to. It's not all of the lifestyle Jesus offered us when we got saved. When you were born again into an inheritance. And many Christians do not see the full scope of that, do not walk into the broad outlines of what God has called them to, and seem to press in to a certain stage and then settle there and live in a substandard inheritance. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Because last week I was preaching and it looked like you guys were like, no, that's just you. We're all fine. So I was like, oh, wow. And so when we came at the end, I go, hey, let's pray for people. And three people said, yeah, that's me. I was like, I obviously wasn't on the same page. So it's my conviction that many Christians live substandard, subpar, not in all the inheritance God called them to. And I know that there's this idea that you can have as much as you want. I get that. And some people don't want much, and that's okay because that's their choice. But I'm called to be one of the attendants of the bride. One of the calls of God on my life is that I'm supposed to minister until we all reach unity in the faith. Yes. So I'm a little frustrated with that reality. People go, no, I've got enough. I go, yeah, that's your choice. But my call is to help us all get into the promised land. I got to get us all across the finish line. I want to get us all functioning in all that God has for us. So we're at sort of, do you understand what I'm saying? So that's why I get like, we've got to deliver this, Lord. There's something here. So we looked at that reality, and one of the things that that the Bible says about Jesus, the prophecy about the Messiah, when he comes, this is what he will do. He will reassign desolate inheritances, and that's found in Isaiah 49. He said, I will make you to be a covenant for the people to restore the land and reassign its desolate inheritances. And we understood from that the scripture in 2 Corinthians 6, that'll come up here, Paul, in talking about this dispensation of grace, taps into Isaiah 49 and says, that which is prophesied in Isaiah 49, that's what God's meaning today. That thing that was prophesied over Jesus, we're walking in the anointing of that calling, and we see that. And he says, don't take God's grace in vain, because God said, remember when he said, now is the day? I'm telling you now. Now we're walking in all that God called us to do, and it's time for us to go out and explain and break open and expand the borders and say to the church, this is your inheritance. This is part of the message that God has given us as a church to do. And then we understood that although the initial, first the type, the shadow of what God wants to do in the new covenant was done in the Old Testament, it was what God did to the nation of Israel, he wants to do now to the nation of those who believe. But to the nation of Israel, he gave a specific land. It had definitive borders. And God did that as a type for us, upon whom the fulfillment of the ages has come. But when God turned around and he spoke to Jesus, he said to Jesus, if you ask me, I'll give you all the nations as your inheritance. Not one nation with a small portion of land, but son, if you ask me, I'll give you all the nations. And Jesus said, I want all the nations. And so what has happened to us in the new covenant is not that we want to go back to Israel and rebuild the temple. That's not the great passion of the church. That's the passion of Jews. And I understand that passion of the Jews because that's a national passion. But I am of the nation of those who are Jew because I have a circumcised heart, because I've been born again, because I'm of God's kingdom, and I am an heir of Abraham's promises. That's the Jewish nature that we all bear. And so we are called to take the nations of the world as the inheritance of God. We are called to move into this world and to see the kingdom of God expand into every avenue. This is the call of God on us. Now, if you understand Jesus' commission to the church was go and make disciples of every nation. Nowhere did Jesus say, listen, hang in to the end and just pray and hope that you get enough so that you'll be comfortable. Do you see that anywhere in the scriptures? Listen. Stand strong and resist the devil and just look after what you've got. And maybe if you stand firm to the end, you'll be saved. And half the church, more than half the church is in that mode. I'm going to protect what's mine. I'm trusting God to give me enough so that I don't have any lack. And I'm not anti that. I'm just saying that was a byproduct of going into every nation and taking the gospel out there. Thank you. I was hoping for one. So I want to lay up a very principle which may has got nothing to do with anything but that it is a principle of interpretation of Scripture. And the principle is first comes the natural and then comes the spiritual. This is a principle outlined in Corinthians 15. You'll see why I'm making it known. Paul writing to the Corinthians says, the first man, Adam, became a living being and the last Adam a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural. After that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is made of heaven. This is a principle that tracks throughout the New Testament. First comes the natural, then comes the spiritual. A body is sown, Paul says, your body is created, and then you can get born, but then you can get born again. But you cannot get born again before you're born naturally. So you get first the natural, then comes the spiritual, right? First you learn how to communicate, and then you can communicate with God. First the natural, then the spiritual. God gives you money, then he gives you real riches. Come on. Right? We just heard that. There's first the natural, then the spiritual. And so when you look in the scriptures, because last week I had some questions going, I don't understand what you mean. What are you doing about all? I go, wait. We're dealing with first the natural. There is a natural, then there's a spiritual component. The way God brought his people into the promises and into their inheritance was a natural picture of what he's going to do with us as the church supernaturally. First the natural, then the spiritual. Yes, amen. Are you there? So let's not, because you'll see, now let me just read this to you, Corinthians 10. I don't want you to be ignorant about the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and they all ate the same spiritual food, drank the same spiritual drink, drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things occurred as examples for us to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Stop. God allowed a natural first to inform the supernatural. God allowed the natural because he wanted us to see. Paul says God gave the natural because he wanted you to know the example. Let me read it again. These things occurred as examples to us to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test Christ as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. Let me just stop. You go, when you start, see, this is, this is Paul, the great apostle of grace. Do you understand? And he's saying, listen, don't be involved in idolatry because it killed some of them. The natural example, they started indulging in idolatry and about 3,000 of them were killed in one day. Then they got involved in sexual immorality and 23,000 of them died in a plague. Then they tested the Lord and some of them got swallowed up. Then they grumbled and more people died. Are you saying that if I grumble, I'm going to die? No. First the natural, then the spiritual. But the natural has elements that inform the spiritual. If you grumble, it's not a good thing for you. If you grumble, it will hinder you stepping into your inheritance. If you could choose... this fascinates me. If you could choose some of the worst sins on the planet, he goes, idolatry, sexual immorality, and grumbling. Would you put grumbling as the big third? No, but that's what the scripture says. You know why? Because grumbling will mess up your inheritance. Now, you may not die. God's not going to kill 23,000 among us, but if you get involved in sexual immorality, it does hinder your hindrance. It does hinder you getting into your inheritance. Oh, but I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. Yes, you are, but you're being stupid if you engage in sexual immorality. You cannot walk in all your inheritance if you're engaging in these things. Galatians 5 says it and Colossians says it. Those who live like this will not inherit. Right? the Lord told me today, he said, this message is for those who have ears to hear. I'm preaching for those who have ears. Don't grumble. Because grumblers don't inherit. Yeah, but I got lots to grumble about. Uh-huh. No, I understand. I understand. Grumblers don't inherit. But I'm free. I can do anything I like. Yeah, no, I understand that. But the sexually immoral don't inherit. If you allow idols in your life, you don't inherit. You live in a substandard thing. So at some stage, we have to say to some people, listen, hey, it is for freedom that Christ set you free. Now live free. Let's walk in a way. Let's walk in a way that enables us to walk in all the riches of the glorious inheritance of the saints. Go, well, are you saying it's all about my actions? No, I'm saying you qualify for the glorious inheritance because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. And because you have believed in him, when you believed, it is all poured out into your life. But if you're going to have all this constant flow of the blessing and the favor of God pouring into your life, and you still engage yourself in idolatry, it's like running around with a hatchet and just smashing all the inheritance all the time. Stop it. I want to sweep up broken glass all the time. There's a principle. So if you got this, just track with me on this. God has no need, right? He has no lack, he has no need. He's all sufficient, all powerful. How do you co-labor with God? Because by definition, anything I can contribute is a bit of a waste of time, right? Yes. Hey, Lord, let's you and I go and fight that battle. He goes, okay. Whack! I go, see what I did? So God, in order to co-labor, because he wants to co-labor with us, invites us to be co-laborers. And so he invites us to bring our peace. And whatever we don't fill, he fills. So we're truly co-laboring. But God has no need for the peace I added. I have a massive need for the peace he added. So I understand it's not a fair trade. But God likes to co-labor. So we have all that God can do alongside all that I can do, or you can do. And this is how we take our inheritance. Every piece of your inheritance, in order for you to qualify to receive the unprecedented blessing that God intended for your life, the immense glories of grace and peace and righteousness and wisdom and understanding and fellowship and intimacy with God, all of these things that Jesus died to secure for you, God did not invite me into securing any of that because he knew if I was involved, I'd mess it up. And so he said, Jesus, come here. I want you to execute on this. Jesus executed perfectly. And on the cross, when he said, it is finished, it was completely finished. Everything that was necessary for your blessing and for your inheritance was secured by Jesus. And now he says, now, son, daughter, come walk with me. Listen to my spirit, and he will guide you into all your inheritance. Awesome. So it's everything God can do, but it's also everything you can do. And you co-labor with God. This is why when God brought his people into the promised land, he said, I have given it to you. I have given it to you. I will send my angel ahead of you. He will petrify the people in front of you. I will send my hornet in front of you, and he will stir them up so they'll be petrified and scared of you, and I'll drive them out in front of you. Now take out your swords. God, but you're going to send the hornet, right? He goes, yeah, but the hornet's going to be like 3 feet in front of you. Now you take out your sword and you go hunting. But what happens if there's a foe 50 feet away? The Lord says, walk up to them. You go, well, I send the hornet. So now you go. I'm with you. So Lord, I don't want you to kind of be with me. I want you to be ahead of me. Go and slap them. Guys, no, you go slap them. People go, it's all done by the work of the cross. I go, amen. And now take out your sword. Are you just preaching a works gospel? No, no. The only reason you can is because there's grace in your life. The only reason you can is because the victory's been won. You try and do this on your own. If it's just all you can do, all I can do, we're in deep trouble. So after, I want to take you to Joshua 1. We're gonna spend just a little time in this, and then we're going to get to some. Joshua chapter 1, this is God saying to Joshua, okay, this is how I want you to go into the promised land. This is how I want you to go take your inheritance. First, the natural. We're looking at the natural. We're going to make some extrapolations into the spiritual. So here we go. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Stop. Sometimes when people have got in the way, God says, okay, when they die, there's a release. In the year that King Uzziah died, as I said, I saw the Lord. Uzziah had gone in and the Lord struck Uzziah with leprosy and had hindered. Uzziah took upon himself some things that weren't his. And so Isaiah says, when Uzziah died, the revelation was opened to me. It's an interesting concept, right? For another time. Moses is dead. Your time has come, Joshua. Basically, it's what God is saying. Get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give you and the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I promised to Moses. If God will give you every piece of the inheritance that you dare to put your foot on, think about that. See, I think that promise still holds. I'll give you everything you dare to put your foot on. I picture it like this. Imagine for about 100 yards around you in every direction, God puts a bubble of victory. And if you stay stationary, then for these 100 yards all around you, there's great victory and joy. And after you've stood there for 3 days, you go, wow, look at this victory. And there's no enemies coming into your bubble, and you go, bring me a chair, and then bring me a bed, and then let's build a house, and look how peaceful my land is. But God said, but this is not all there is. I've given you, 1,000 acres here. You go, no, I'm happy with this. Just this acre here is beautiful. He goes, yeah, but there's another 999 out there for you. Okay, yeah, but out there, I can see them at the edge. There's enemies. Yeah, but if you walk that way, then I'll give you 100 yards in front of you, I'll give you victory there. But there's big enemies there. Yeah, I've given them into your hands, and I'll be with you, and I'll send my hornet ahead of you, but you have to go. This is why they came into the promised land, and 7 years later, Joshua comes to seven of the tribes. Seven tribes have still stationary. Look at all this victory we have. He goes, yeah, why haven't you taken your land? 7 years of indecision. At some stage, you have to walk out against your Goliath. At some stage, you actually have to believe God is with you. Can't just say it, can't just confess it, can't just have it up on a poster on the wall. At some stage, you actually have to act like God is with me and go out, take out your sling or whatever it is and walk out towards Goliath. So you know what prompts that is faith, is a little guts and a little boldness. I tell you what, if Saul himself was the anointed man of God, he himself was a giant. Saul, if Saul had walked out against Goliath, Saul would have killed Goliath. But it was not in Saul's heart. And so he sat quivering in his tent, and Israel was stalled because there was not one man among them who said, you know what, who's this guy? Come here, let me slap you. Yes. New Living Bible version. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Listen to this. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That, if you look at that, that's everywhere. He goes, hit the next one as well. You'll see there's four places. God says, I will never leave you. I will never leave you. I'll never leave you. And there's a wind of discouragement that the enemy fuels, fires, plants. The enemy seeds this wind with multiple lies and wants to float discouragement across your life. And one of the biggest issues is that he goes, you know, you're alone. God doesn't like you. Nobody else is struggling with this. It's just you. And it's because you're ugly and because God doesn't like you and you're terrible. And he floats this wind of discouragement, a constant stream of lies that try to steal your courage. Because if the enemy can steal your courage and get you to stay stationary, then nowhere where you put your foot is given to you, so you just sit here. But if you can get a little courage, if you can just get a little stirring in your heart and you start to step out and say, okay, God is with me. Let's see how far this goes. You begin to walk into all of the call of God. You begin to take new ground and God gives it to you at the foot of your feet. And so one of the things that the Spirit of God is trying to do in these days is to bring encouragement and courage to the people of God. Right? And so he says, hey, I am with you. Hey, stop looking at the giants. Listen, hey, look at me. I am with you. Number three. Be strong and courageous. Look at this. Four times, one chapter. Goes, okay, Joshua, you're going to go and take the inheritance. It's going to be joyful. All that I've promised, now it's coming. In your generation, you're going to lead these people in. It's going to be wonderful. Now listen, come here. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. Discouraged people do not inherit the kingdom of God. Because you need to put your foot on it. You need to step out against the giant. You need to walk towards impossibility. You need to have something of a fire in your belly that says, I don't care. I don't care. I've never been here before. I don't care. I've never seen the giant fall before. I don't care any of that. God said, this is my space and I'm taking it. And that giant's in the way. This is my land. Get off my land. Something of a stirring has to happen in the spirit of the church. A courage needs to come. Be strong. And of great courage. And he says, be careful to obey all the law. We understand we've been freed from the law, but the principle holds true. Keep this book always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything that's written in it. God's word needs to be on our lips, in our minds, and informing our actions. On our lips, in our minds, informing our actions. This is part of the deal. If we're going to walk into all the inheritance, this is why Jesus said, the Holy Spirit has been given to you. He will guide you into all truth. He will take from what is mine and make it known to you. This is part of what the Holy Spirit does. He's going to lead you into all the inheritance. He says, the kingdom of God is in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit wants to take you in and lead you into all that is yours. And he's going to lead you step by step into all of this. And so it's not a small issue, first the natural, then the spiritual. First the natural, he said, you must meditate on all the words that have come out of my mouth. I've given you the law. I don't want that ever to not be on your lips, not in your mind, or not informing the way you act. I want you to meditate on it day and night, Joshua. This is very important. You want to walk into the promised inheritance, then you need to be in my word. You need to be listening to my voice. See, I get nervous with people who function just on their sheer gifting. Praise God for your gifting. Praise God for your capacity. But if you're functioning just in your natural ability and not listening to the Spirit of God, not informed by the Spirit of God, not stepping out and taking things by faith, then you are not walking in all the inheritance God's got for you. You're impressive in what you can accomplish, but you have not yet reached a fraction of what God intends for you in the Spirit of God. So I'm just calling everybody to a new level of listening to the voice of God and stepping out in faith according to. Yes. And then there's this interesting thing. When they came east of the Jordan, which wasn't originally part of what God said was going to be the promised land, 2.5 tribes, because the whole nation of Israel, all 12 tribes or 13 tribes together, were traveling together, and the whole army of Israel went out and they decimated the land. They destroyed every army that was in the way. They took every city. And so now the land is made just beautiful. And the 2.5 tribes, the half tribe of Manasseh and the other two tribes, say, we really like this place. Can't we have our inheritance here? And God says, okay, you can have it on this side of the Jordan. And so they take their inheritance that side of the Jordan, because God said, sure, if you like it, you can have it. Because they'd already conquered it. But they'd done it with all the whole of Israel together. Now, the other 9.5 tribes are about to cross over the Jordan and go and take their inheritance. And God says to these 2.5 tribes, you can have this inheritance, that's fine, except there's one thing you need to do, is every man who's ready to fight needs to cross over, and you cross over ahead of all the other 9.5 tribes, and you come with us, and you fight on the other side. And you ensure that they, your brothers, also get their inheritance, because they fought with you to get what you got. Now you come over and fight with them. So we all come over and we all take what's all of ours, and you help us fight. And so if you've had breakthrough, praise God for your breakthrough. You have a responsibility. Those of us who have seen breakthrough in areas, we bear a responsibility under God to step out and go help the others who have not yet broken through. It's not enough for me to say, well, look at what God's done for me. Hope the rest of you all go well. Bless me. Tell me how it goes. I don't know why those silly people are struggling. Must be they weak or wimpy or their arrogance or something in their lives, but I'm blessed and look at this. So for those of us who are walking in a measure of inheritance, praise God. Come and walk out that testimony in the sight of brothers and sisters who have not yet walked in their inheritance. Come and fight with us. That's for those who have ears. All your fighting men ready for battle must cross over ahead of your fellow Israelites, and you are to help them until the Lord gives them rest, as he has done for you, and until they too have taken possession of the land that the Lord your God has given them. Let me wrap. I want to say, number one, dare to put your foot down. Dare to put your foot down. Every place you put your foot down, I'll give it to you. Number two, know that he is the ever-present, ever-caring God. It's amazing to me how many times we forget this. Cast all your cares on me, because I care for you. That's what the scripture says. Number three, be strong and of great courage. God gave this inheritance to us freely, and it's ours. Jesus secured it. He qualified us for it. You can walk into it anytime, but it is going to require you to fight. You are going to still have to fight for your inheritance. It's not a fair fight. God has already rigged it in your favor. He's already going to go out to battle with you. The final act has already been written, but that does not mean between now and when you walk in all your inheritance, you will not have a fight on your hands. You will, I promise you, have a fight on your hands. This week, the Lord spoke to me. I've let you into my personal walk with the Lord. The Lord, I was praying this week, and I woke with a vision of me doing exercises, weightlifting. It was impressive looking weights, and I was. And then I looked behind me, and there was an 8,000 pound gorilla sitting down. And I was struggling to get the weight up, and he leaned over like this, and he helped me. And if you trained in gym, you know, you get someone to spot you because you go. Somebody stands behind you and helps you just lift. Now, God doesn't appoint gorillas to do the work for you. He says, you pick it up, and when you start wobbling and then I'll help you. Because he wants you to develop muscle. He doesn't want the gorilla to have the muscle. He wants to develop muscle in you. So he goes, no, you pick it up. So are you going to walk out against Goliath? Why? Because the third or fourth giant that you've killed, the next giant you see, come here. right? Because something's stirred up in your spirit. You go like, dance or nothing. But there's three or four. That's going to take faith. Right? Something gets stirred up in you. You go like, we can take them. There's a hunger that starts to, because you've learned, every time you step, the Lord comes through, that comes through, it becomes a habit, becomes addictive.
Yes.
Amen. Get a hankering for victory. Get a hankering to enforce victory. God's word needs to be on our lips, in our minds, and informing our actions. It's not about this. See, you are going to take your inheritance, but it's not going to be to your credit. It's not going to be, wow, they were such good warriors. Look at them. Still, they say, this is the inheritance that God gave us. We drove them out, but God gave them to us. God gave it into our hands. There's hard work involved. There are battles involved. But the glory is not ours. It's His. And that means that I have to be listening to His words. It's not because I'm gifted or because I'm strong or because I'm unique or because I worked hard. It's because He gave it to me. So I have to listen. I have to be informed by His voice. And number five, breakthroughs. Those who have breakthroughs in inheritance must be on the front line until all have taken possession of what's been given. Can we establish that as a rule?
Yes.
If you have breakthrough, praise God for your breakthrough. Genuinely, praise God for your breakthrough. I'm not going to have people here, if they have breakthrough, and then the poor people who've sad go, you can't celebrate them. They got healed, but I'm still struggling with sickness. You can't celebrate them. No, we're going to celebrate their healing. And we're going to say, hey, we pray with you. Well, I'm struggling to have a child, and you can't celebrate that child. No, we're going to celebrate that child and pray for you. Well, I'm struggling financially, and they have financial breakthrough. We can't celebrate that because it hurts me. Well, no, we're going to celebrate their breakthrough and pray for you. So praise God for the breakthroughs. But if you have breakthrough, you have a responsibility to help the rest of us who in that area don't have breakthrough.
Yeah.
You can just put up the next few screens. Let me just show you, just to prove to you that I did prepare. Okay, the next one. What's the land of our inheritance? And go to the next screen. And so I put down some stuff. This is all in the notes. You can go online. PDF is up there. You can read this in your leisure. There's the stuff, and there's some of the stuff, and there's some of the scriptures about what is your inheritance. Because people go, well, what is my inheritance? Well, look at the top one there. You've been given every spiritual blessing in Christ. All of them. That's one line of the list that I made. And then there's another screen, and I stopped there because I knew we wouldn't have time. Now, let me get to where we're going to close this meeting. In a little while, I'm going to put some music on. And we're going to worship, or we're just going to sit and soak a little bit. And I want to ask three questions of you, because I feel like this is something that we need to close this message, because I don't want you to just walk out of here. I want to close this message with three questions. Number one, which part of your inheritance do you want to put your foot on? So it's interesting to me that two of the tribes said, we like this. God said, okay, and that's yours. In all the inheritance of God, it's all available to you, but you get to choose which part you want to press into. Isn't that interesting? Well, I want it all. My wants are simple. I want it all. Then go for all. But what do you want to put your foot on? I think there's some people in here, you're living in a beautiful bubble of stationary victory. And so when you tell testimonies, you tell the testimonies that happened 15 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. But when you pull up a deck chair and you sat down and you settled, that's the last time you had a victory over a giant, because it's the last time you were moving forward. Number two, what has the Holy Spirit been emphasizing to you? I guarantee you, the Holy Spirit's been whispering to you about your inheritance, because that's what Jesus said He would be doing. The Bible calls the Holy Spirit the deposit who guarantees your inheritance. And third, who are you helping with their inheritance? So I'm going to ask, we're just going to put on a song. I'm going to ask you, because we're going to put this into practice. I want you to take, if you take away nothing from the sermon, but an answer to one of those, if just one of those, preferably all three of those questions. But if that's all that happened, I'll be a happy man. Be a very happy man. If you got an answer to one of those from the Spirit of God today, preferably all three. So we're going to put on some worship music. We're going to love the Lord. I invite you to focus on the Lord. But I want you to take those three questions and ask the Lord. Say, Lord, what do you want me to put my foot down on? Holy Spirit, what have you been saying to me? Who can I help with their inheritance? Let's do that. Let's put that music on.